Down. It is GloucesterCast 322. I didn't have my buddy Jimmy here to prompt
the
me.
Numbers. Yeah.
Jimmy
yeah.
usually prompts.
But you got
me.
It. You hit the nail on the head.
We got it, right?
Yep.
We have a chamber update today from Ken and Carrie. We've been trying to get this together for maybe 6 weeks now on a weekly basis.
Right. We tried to do it earlier in the year, but we're glad to be here, Joey.
When I go away, things get kind of messed up.
The schedule just doesn't. We lose our schedule.
Well, to be honest, I was kind of winding down my thing there, but the chamber has been busy as all get out.
Well, you're gearing up for a huge.
Well,
year.
They've been in it.
We're in it. Yeah, it's been a big year so far. We'll talk a little bit about that.
They're in it. Ralph DiGiorgio is with us.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Ralph, we have a thing that we're going to talk about, me and Ralph. We're both at critical stages right now. You could say critical mass.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, definitely.
Critical mass.
I'm a little concerned with the structure of this building right now.
You shouldn't do that too.
Pat Dalpiaz is with us,
Gloucester,
fresh off her big victory with the prime rib weekly special update.
Received very well, and I appreciate everybody's input. We'll get a correction out.
Yeah.
Probably once a day for the next couple days.
Yeah.
Not every minute that it happens. But
yeah, people adding to it.
Right. Yes. Yes.
So
yes.
For the people that haven't seen it yet, Pat will post it, and I'll just. I'll copy it over to Cape Ann Eats, so it'll always be up at the top, because we do 20 posts a day, so it may get lost, and so that way that people can find it very quickly if you go to www.capeanneats.com. Kim is with us.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Huge, in just two short days since our last podcast,
yes.
There's many updates with her Cape Ann Wildlife updates.
Cape Ann Wildlife, that's right.
Coming up.
Super excited about it.
But we're going to start out with Ken and Carrie. Talk about it. I mean, what's coming up first? Birding weekend or Irish sweepstakes?
Irish sweepstakes. No.
Birding weekend.
Yeah. Birding weekend is it's birding day. It's a boat trip on March 2nd.
So I want to correct what we were talking about at the end of the podcast last time. The birding weekend, we said it sold out, mm-hmm. and you could get on the waiting list. Mm-hmm. But you said you don't necessarily have to get on that boat to participate. You want people to come down to the ocean's edge and kind
so
of.
Yes, so that's true. But please know that the only event that's taking place is the boat trip. But there's just this time of year, as you know. There's just so much you can see from the docks. If you go down to Jodhpur and look out there, you can. There's always things that you can see.
There's a reason that you had it. This particular time of the year, because there's so much migration to our area.
It really is meant to be the winter seabirds, which is what this area is.
And what's nice to do it a little bit later, we've done it in February, we're doing it now, the beginning of March, going out to Selwyg, and you actually can see some of the whales are starting to come back, and seals.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So if we're lucky, we get to see both the winter birds and some of the other mammals that are making their way.
That's what Kim said she was most excited about, checking and seeing if there was any whales.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I'm excited about both, but the was it last year they had all those right whales off Race Point? I think it was in early March. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And what was really cool was the gannets were feeding right over the right whales.
Yeah.
So, I think it's kind of like a little symbiotic thing going on there. So,
Kim... gave us a big time value added information about Duckworth's this past podcast, that saying that she went to Duckworth's for Valentine's Day and they allowed her to go on the waiting list for next year's Valentine's Day, because you know how hard it is to get into Duckworth's to begin with. She put herself on the list for next year, and they accepted that reservation.
My husband did this. You're
a couple, so the question is, can people get on the list for the boat next year?
Can I tell you? Funny you should ask. So we will determine next year's date, pretty much the day. I'll speak to Jay, the captain, on March 2nd. And I've told the people on the waiting list that I will contact them immediately and give them the date of next year.
That's nice.
And last year, there was a gentleman from Vermont that came here. He was the president of a birding club. And he brought 10 people with him, and they had so much fun. He said, I want 10 spaces for next year. So
you allowed them to lock it down?
Did.
Okay, so there we go. There's more value added to the podcast right here. Be aware, if you missed out this year, you can get on the list for next year.
Yes,
and it is a great trip. I went last year.
Did you?
Yes,
oh,
I did. Yes. That was the postponed trip, I think.
Yes, it was. That was
It was lovely. I enjoyed it very much.
That's good. And Jay Frontero, who is the captain.
Oh, he did a great job.
Out of Tier 4. He's a birding enthusiast himself. He's a naturalist. Yeah. And we also have 4 guides from the Audubon that come and are in different areas identifying birds.
Right.
So it's great. It's great. For beginners, and it's for people who are well experienced.
Do you remember if you saw razorbills last year?
I don't think it was last year. I know
that
they have.
I don't think so. I don't remember.
Tim, have you done it before?
No, I've never done
it. You'll have
it.
To come out.
I am.
You're on.
I'm a guest.
She's a guest. She's going. Yeah.
I'm
want to see
excited.
You on the bowsprit with all the
She's going to do her. She's going to do her impersonation of the Titanic on the bow. With it. What's the song that they sing?
I know.
Oh, there's the famous scene with that Leonardo DiCaprio. Who's going to stand behind you, though?
You know? Joey, that is where the hardcore birders are. They're right on front of the boat, and it doesn't matter what the temperature is or what the seas are. They've got their binoculars out there, and are just viewing
I'm not
the entire
my camera
time.
Equipment out there.
They've got their cameras out there. It's amazing.
Really?
It's amazing. Oh, yeah.
Well, my new camera is supposed to be water-sealed, but I'm going to Mexico the following week, and I don't know if I want to take a trip.
Right.
Oh, yeah. It's a big thing for you.
Yeah. I'll find a place. Don't worry.
You know, a related message is Cape Ann is a wonderful place for wintering seabirds, and we just want birders to come here during the whole winter enjoy what there is to see, enjoy what we have to offer here.
Do you have a list offhand of some of the? Do you have a list offhand of accommodations that are open year round?
We do. We do have a list. You know, I could give out a few right now, but I'm sure I would leave several others.
Don't do it. I don't want you to get. No, I know that situation.
Yeah,
you can just everybody takes it very personally if they're you always.
Yeah, we can call the chamber, and we definitely have a list.
Give a call to the chamber if you're interested in coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic.
It's going to be good to have you out there, Kim.
Yeah,
it's going to be a fun day.
I'm really excited.
Yeah,
really,
good.
Really excited.
Irish sweepstakes, let's get to that.
Yes, that's on March 13th at the Gloucester House, and tickets are selling
quickly, actually.
Yeah,
did you guys bring tickets? You do this every time. How many times do we have to go through this? Every time. Me and Ralph would have bought a ticket.
That's it, Joe. We're going to have the Italian scramble, and we're not giving any tickets.
I'm coming back.
The Italian scramble.
Right on my counter. It's unbelievable.
This is twice a year. Don't we do this twice a year? And we go through this exercise, and you guys come in here to talk about it, and me and Jimmy usually split a ticket, Pat, and they go and have the food, and I call them, and inevitably I'm disappointed because I think it's the Italian is bad juju
it's
for
the Irish.
They're doing you a favor because you're not supposed to be eating now.
That's true.
Remember, because we're on that mission.
You don't have to eat that night. It's also a very big bar scene.
You can
there.
Drink. I'm going to say
you can't drink
either.
You got to give up alcohol and food.
Really?
Well, I'm going to Paris in 2 weeks. I'm drinking and eating in Paris.
There
I don't
you
know.
Go.
The portions are very small in Paris.
We've established that.
Look. Just look at the pastries.
Just look.
Champagne's overrated. That's it. Move on.
So March 13th, we're giving away $20,000. You know the deal, right?
What?
Top prize, $10,000. There's only 400 tickets sold, and there's 12 different award levels. 10, 5, 2,500, several 1,000, several 500. It's the best giveaway on Cape Ann.
Wow.
And even if you don't, so even with that, even if you don't win, you go there, and there's food.
Yeah.
Pat, what did you think of the food?
I enjoyed it.
What are some of the things they serve?
Isn't it like corned beef and cabbage?
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
Corned beef and cabbage dinner.
Yeah.
So if you were going to go someplace else, you were going to spend that kind of, you know, well, you might not spend $100, but you know, you're getting value
you're
there.
Fun.
And
$100
is for
entertainment.
Two. That's for two for dinner.
Yep.
$100.
That's a good bargain. Yeah.
It is a good buy.
Yeah.
That's why I always
fun night, especially if you have a chance to win money.
10 G's.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt.
We also do a 50-50 raffle that night, and that's been getting up there with the split.
Yeah, well over $1,000 on the 50-50.
Yeah.
There you go. What's the date? March
13th.
tickets available? You can go down to the chamber.
You betcha.
Or maybe
the chamber's not going to bring it.
Or maybe
they're definitely not bringing it.
No, yeah, I was just going to say maybe they drop some off.
We will. We're coming back.
Yeah.
The Italian scramble, we'll bring them to you.
That's right.
The Irish sweepstakes, you don't know. It's a crapshoot. So then we have after hours event at Ryan and Wood. Bobby and Bobby and his son, Bobby Jr. and others. Like, what is this? The fifth? I think the fifth Ryan in the lineage. Bobby Ryan Jr. had another baby.
Oh yes, the baby was there actually at the
So yeah. Slug Ryan was my uncle's best friend. He owned Atlantic Seafoods. I used to go out for breakfast with Slug all the time. Then Bobby, that's two. Bobby Jr. So that's four generations of Bobby Ryan.
So the baby was just like 2 weeks old.
Yeah.
We had the event last week and it was great. It was fabulous. We had about 70 people there. And the baby was there and it was probably the most popular.
Oh, they're great hosts.
They really are.
They're great hosts.
What a fantastic business.
Great job there.
Yeah.
What they've done with that.
Yep. Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. But so the day after the Irish sweepstakes, we have a college and career fair, and this is the fifth annual. Is that right?
Fifth annual, yeah.
So we're at the high school. We've got 75 colleges coming from around.
Tremendous.
Yeah, we'll actually have a few more. Yeah. We've got 75 signed up now. We'll have to cap it around 80 because it's as many as the field house can hold. And then we also bring in businesses to talk about education and career pathways. So it's not just about the colleges.
That's
it's about
tremendous.
How do we get where we are.
Yeah.
And it's not just about going to college. We'll have the trades represented there as well as the armed services.
Trades, we've been banging that drum for two or three years on the blog. Yeah. That a lot of people are spending $70,000 to come out of and get a Bachelor of Arts degree.
Per year.
That's what I mean. Per year and coming out and some of these kids that are going to the trade show, there's a lot of money out there to get them or internships.
Yeah.
They come out and they're making $70,000 a year, and a lot of advancement. Ralph could tell you.
I was just going to say, if you have room, I might be able to send it. We have a group of people in the company that we send out to trade schools not only trade schools but high schools and colleges and everything for kids that are looking to get into our field.
Let's follow up. Here's my card.
Absolutely.
Look at that. See that? That's we always make connections.
Yeah, I like it because we hire people every week.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, but not to knock a college education. When I talk to my daughters, at their young age, because there was no one above me in my family that went to college, so I didn't have any, even though we were in business, and my father always had business magazines, like U.S. News and World Report, so I was interested in graphs, and I was a math kid, so I went to business school, but... I see a lot of people that send the kids, they're like, oh, I want to be a photographer or I want to be a English major. And not to knock either of those things, but I try to impress upon my daughters, if you can, try to get something that when you graduate, there is a need that they need you that you're not fighting with. An incredible amount of people and very little pay.
Yeah, very little.
So,
And then one other series of events. I don't know if you want to talk about KPN, Innovators Collaborative.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about, so we've started a new forum, Joey. It's called KPN Innovators Collaborative, and we had three events last year. They were really based on kind of maritime topics. So we have blue economy, coastal resilience, and we did one on biotech, including featuring GMGI.
Good morning, Gloucester Institute, of course.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
You didn't know that was the new name?
No, I did not, actually.
Yeah, they put the building up for us. Come on, Ken, get with it.
Big GMGI sticker right up there.
We're trying to figure out when our studio's going to be open.
Yeah.
I know, we have to do, you know how they do these pranks? We have to get a big white seagull and attach it right to the right of where it says GMGI and put it right on. One day we have to scale that building. Yeah. Ralph, you have the equipment to make this happen.
I can do anything. The only problem is you just let the cat out of the bag. Yeah. So now everybody's going to be on the watch. They're going to be setting up cameras in the parking lot.
No one listens to this. No, that would be fantastic. You have, what do they call those, a lull? Get up there with a lull?
Yeah, you could put like a
masonry drill bits? Lift.
No, no, we don't deal with the building. No, those telescoping boom lifts. You know, you put a boom, you go up there and
all right,
attach
we'll talk.
It to the...
No one's listening. I'll put this on pause. So we'll just, we'll talk.
I don't hear anything.
Yeah.
No,
it's all good. I'm sorry, Ken. Go ahead.
I have no idea what we're talking about.
We're talking the blue economy. No, no.
Cake,
all these
we're talking
things.
Cake.
You're innovators.
So the idea is to get a different kind of, a different segment of the community here, our innovators and entrepreneurs, of which we are all innovators. Yeah. So it's not meant to be a chamber networking event. It's not chamber exclusive. It's an open event to the entire community. Mm-hmm. We want our innovators and entrepreneurs to be meeting each other, networking, and be learning from a topic of interest. So to become informed and inspired through these different cake forums that we've been having. So the last one that we had was on...
Wait, I just want to stop you there. You said cake forums, and cake stands for...
Cape Ann Innovators Collaborative.
Right.
CAIC.
We want to make this a thing. When someone says cake, they know exactly what they're talking
exactly
about.
Exactly right, Joey. Right. So we just had a fantastic one. The most recent one was 2 weeks ago, and we hold these at Cruiseport Lower Level. They very graciously give us the room there. And it was on creative placemaking, and Karen Ristabin here from Rocky Neck led that forum for us and talked about the work that she's doing with the Essex County Community Foundation in this creative placemaking topic, which is the introduction of arts and culture and economic development. Think of it that way, that we shouldn't be doing any new development without considering how does that impact our local culture and how do we make sure that artistically it's very pleasing and the community, frankly, is going to be happy with it. And so there was a whole topic on that, and we brought in panelists from around the state. We had Worcester was here and what they're doing, Beyond Walls from Lynn was here, Beverly and some of the interesting work they're doing, and just different examples of these creative placemaking projects. And Karen is running this large grant out of the Community Foundation to take that around Essex County. So now what we're talking about are the next few editions. We'll have one in May, and then in the fall, and again later on in the year. So it's a pretty interesting series, and we hope that you join us. Yeah.
You know, it seems like, so Kate, sometimes I go in the car with Kate when she's on her calls, and we travel all around New England. You know what some of the coolest towns, the up-and-coming towns that seem to present a lot of value right now are these old mill towns that had huge buildings that were just like completely, demolished, just unused or whatever,
and
converted into living space, work, art space, all this stuff.
Mixed use. Retail on the first level, residential on the upper level.
And they're like cool space.
That's what it's all about. That's what creative placemaking is all about. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, look at for us to do some of that here in Gloucester.
Yeah, there are a lot of places.
Cumming Center in Beverly, perfect example. Right. Yeah, yeah.
Is there residence at the Cumming Center?
There's no residence there. Huh. Yes, there is. I'm sorry. I apologize. There is. They just built a brand new residential building right out front of apartments.
You just don't know. That place is so huge. If you go to an appointment in there, it's like...
You gotta put an extra 15 minutes in there to make sure you can find your spot.
Right, or the thing that I've learned is to, like, ask, like, the doctor, like, which parking entrance should
I come to? You know, here's a tip for you. Next time you go there, there's a security shack right in the front. You can ask the security shack guy, and he'll tell you which building to go to. Yeah, because I've had the same issue. Yeah.
We were there last week. We went to an escape room.
Oh, they have an escape room there?
Yeah.
What's that?
So you go into these rooms. There's all different types of rooms, and this ours was like a saloon type. You know, then they have a
different themes,
swashbuckling. You know?
Yeah.
And then you go into this room, and there are clues, and there's a TV, and they'll give you clues, and then you need to.
Figure out
a clue to get into that safe. And then once you get into that safe, then there's another clue to get into this, and then get another clue to get into that. Oh. And then the main objective is to get out of that room. And then you get out of that room, and then you're in another room. And then there's all sorts of clues. And it's not, I'm claustrophobic. So at first I was panicking, but the door's unlocked. There's a door that's always unlocked. You can always get out. But
I can see Ralph picking up.
Oh yeah, I'm ready to kick doors down. But no, they say there's a door that's always unlocked. If you ever get nervous, you just open the door and go. But it's not about that. It's about using your head. It's
teamwork.
It's teamwork.
Together, yeah.
Very difficult.
Well, to get back to Gloucester mixed-use buildings, like I think Ken Hecht is very, he's really a big proponent of that, right? With his,
I think there's a big push. I think people realize that the value added to vibrant work, living space close to
downtown.
Right. Well, they passed that law. I don't know how long ago it was that they downtown. They passed that thing that anybody that had a place on Main Street, they would allow them to build over living space above it.
Above it.
Which,
yeah.
You have people, you built in customers for the coffee shops and everything else, right?
There's a real neat business that just opened up in Ken's building called Wheelhouse Co-work.
Really?
Yes. So it's our first co-work. You guys talked about this already?
Yes.
We were there, we podcasted there a couple weeks before they opened and everything. We did a podcast there. They're great. Yeah.
No,
they
had a great opening. I mean, we're close to
I saw the pictures. Well attended.
Really nice job.
We actually hadn't seen it finished out the way that, with all the furniture in there. They were putting the finishing touches on when we taped
it. It was nice. Senator Tarr was there, and of course the mayor.
I was not there. I want to go back because I'm actually putting one of those in one of my buildings.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
About that too.
I think I think it's really cool idea, and I think it's, where Gloucester is far is close to Boston, relatively speaking, but still kind of a pain in the ass to get into town. So, and the way everything has evolved, where so many businesses are decentralizing and not paying for huge office space downtown, and I mean, Kate's business is based out of Miami, and all her counterparts are all over the country, actually all over the world, they have their meetings. If we had three young children in the house, it would be very difficult for her to operate. It would probably be a great place for her to rent.
Well, Chris is a perfect example.
He's concerned.
Well, if he can find someone to sponsor and pay for it, he might try to get GMG to sponsor the room for him. And then.
There's also Essex Centennials coming up.
We've got a number of birthdays on Cape Ann here. It's Essex 200th this year.
Wow.
And
they just kicked off, didn't they?
They just kicked off on Friday. They had a wonderful ice cream social.
Yeah,
ice cream provided by
that.
Woodman's, and it was at the Essex Elementary School. And it was awesome because not only were there, of course, a lot of Essex people there and a lot of kids, which was just so nice to see the families and the kids there. But the mayor was there. So the mayor is reaching out, to Essex and encouraging them to, be part of everything that's going on around here. Just as Essex will participate in the Gloucester 400th, which we'll talk about in a minute. Ruth Pino was there and Bob Gillis and several others. And it's just a wonderful way to kick off their 200th with a real family-oriented social event.
And nice to do it at this time of year, because then, I'm sure they're going to be doing lots of things throughout the warmer months.
It's amazing to me that Essex is we're 400 years old and they're only 200 years old?
Yeah. Yeah.
As an organization.
So they were kind of a bunch of pirates out there?
Well, actually, part of Ipswich.
Paris,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And they broke off.
Yes, correct.
Right. They were brigands. Brigands and pirates.
So the full list of calendar of events is on essexma.org. It's on the town site. And so that's Essex next year. It turns out is Manchester by the sea. 375th.
Oh, wow.
So, and then the granddaddy of them all, of course, is Gloucester 400.
Mm-hmm.
And that is in the year
2023. Right.
There has been already a couple of years of planning underway. There's a formal Gloucester 400th committee at this point. It's being led by Ruth Pino, Bob Gillis, and former mayor Bruce Tobey. Try leads.
Gloucester can throw a party.
Yeah.
Think about this. We just started like 5 years in advance for this year. For this party of a year, right?
Yeah.
Like, we don't think of, there's a lot of things that we don't think about until it's on top of us. But when it comes down to a party, we're in planning stages 5 years in advance.
That's the plan.
Like, let's go. Right. Let's go, right? Oh, my goodness.
So, Gloucester MA400 is the website that it was recently launched. It looks awesome.
Wow.
And so as information, as events are being developed, it will go out on that website. There's been a couple of community forums already to involve the community. There's another one that's being planned this spring, I think in the April timeframe, for anybody and everybody to provide input. And the committee is looking for ideas, events.
Right. Yeah, they're really looking. They've been reaching out with press releases pretty regularly, asking for volunteers and ideas of what would you like to see. And one of their themes is, there's no idea that's too outrageous. Like, just give us your input, and we'll work through, and whatever makes sense. But like, they really are looking. Mm-hmm. They want to make it something else.
They want to make it super fun.
Yeah,
I think I saw that their most recent thing is they're working on the medal. The design of the metal,
coin. Yeah.
Yes.
Right, the coins. Did you do the thing with the coins?
Mm-mm.
Oh,
no.
Someone sent it to me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I posted a lot of the previous centennial coins. They had them all in a row, and they were looking for input for the new one.
It looked beautiful. Like, I didn't notice who did it, but do you know that sculptor Daniel Altshuler? Do you know him? He's wonderful. I meant to reach out to him in case he didn't see that, because he worked with Walker Hancock, and he's made some very prestigious, I don't know if he's still in the area, but he's made some very prestigious models and awards and centennial things. So he would be a really good person to
follow
about
up
this.
On that.
Yeah, he would be really good. To
Kim's
him.
Sitting with a lone chicken wing.
And it looks kind of sad. It looks a little bit sad right there.
Is it calling to you, Joey?
No. I had my fill.
This is my lunch treat.
I'm glad. No, it's good.
It's a light lunch.
It's a late lunch, yeah.
No, I'll have other, it'll go.
The timing worked out well.
But
I started those things
is?
At 7.
I have this delicious Caesar salad that I made at home. I have this leftover dressing from last night.
So you have plans for that chicken.
So I'm just going to put it with my beautiful Caesar salad today. That was going to have a little tuna in it, but now it's going to have this steamy treatment.
Wonderful.
Is there any more left? I'll put two with it if there's another one left.
Well, there you go. Well, thank you guys for coming in. I appreciate you coming. It's always nice having you here. You know, the work you guys are doing, just over the top. And I don't know where you find the time, but you guys, you guys must feel pretty rewarded.
I think it's satisfying. Yeah. I mean, I think that there's been a lot of changes the last 5 years since we've been here. And
I would agree.
All, for the most part, are positive. And yeah, it's fun to have a successful event and have good positive feedback.
And I think the community is becoming more aware of our work. You know, just over the last 2 weeks, there's been tremendous coverage in the press between the Times, the Beacon, Cricket. I mean, being on your show, Joey.
The Beacon? They still do the Beacon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they did away with the Beacon.
Yeah. You know, that article on our Next Gen group and our young professionals
together
is fantastic. And there was a great article on the Blue Economy and Cake and so I think it's starting to get recognized as to the work that is going on kind of behind the scenes.
That's
a testament to the two of you. You guys are leading the way over there, and it definitely is people are taking notice. So thanks again for coming.
Thank you.
I get the applause.
Not the laughter track.
you guys can stay.
So now...
Yeah, they do a lot, huh? Holy cow.
They do a lot. So now they left. And I just... Now we can talk.
Are we on?
No, we're on. We're on.
Okay.
But here's the thing. Pat got the memo. Ralph got the memo.
What?
Kim skipped over the memo. But so we've been beating... I've been beating the drum for like 3 months while people bring in treats for the podcast.
Yes.
Right?
And now we have treats.
So,
that memo.
So hold on. So football season came, and we've been eating like savages. Because you sit, things slow down at the wharf.
Yeah.
You sit, football is an all-day kind of event.
Mm-hmm.
start to pack on a little bit of weight, but you're still a little active, so it's not really adding up. But sleep slowly but surely it creeps up on you. And then you go away on vacation with a couple of animals.
And the next thing you know,
you're feeling like a big fat pig. And and Ralph, yesterday I got back from my trip from Playa del Carmen, and I catch up with Ralph because I hadn't talked to him for a week. Catch up with what's going on. He does a rundown of the previous week, which would make anyone blush that likes to go out for nice dinners. It was a rundown of, like, literally, if you could just check off all the best places that you could possibly want to gorge on food, he was there. He was basically there. In one day, he went to and from with a full meal in between to the North End. Yeah. Is that right? Am I exaggerating?
I started out in the morning. I started out at the Bruins game, then went to the North End for pizza, then went to Cafe Victoria, then went back to the hotel, went to Sorolina for dinner, back to the North End for dessert in cappuccino, then back to Brico so awesome. For a nightcap and pizza again.
Wow. Could you imagine that? That's professional right there.
Yeah.
Sounds so fun, though. You know what I mean? Just going from place to place.
It didn't stop there. And then the next morning, got up, had breakfast at the Lennox, then shot to the boat show, went back to the Four Seasons for lunch, came home,
got
home, ate again.
That was a special weekend, though, right?
It was a Valentine's Day weekend. But, you know, yeah. it's got to stop. And then we went out Wednesday night to...
So he tells me this. He did a rundown. It was literally like four straight days of eating like that. And he's telling me, it's kind of got to stop and stuff. And he says, I'm going to Palana tonight. So then he comes in the office and
what are you going to do?
Are you at a crossroad? Or are you not at a crossroad? Because it seems like you blew right through the crossroad and like you're on a runaway train right now.
Yeah, no. It's completely out of control.
Well, the first step is to recognize it.
So then what happens next?
Let me just finish the week because it is. You know, Wednesday night was Duckworth's.
Phenomenal.
Thursday night was... Where did I go Thursday night? Thursday night we bowled and then we ended up at the top side. And then Friday night was the Hart House, which is...
Where is that?
1640 Hart House.
Oh, is it Ipswich?
Oh my God.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God, that place is phenomenal.
Yeah. No one goes there and leaves disappointed.
You can't control yourself there. And then last night's Palana, which, you know, we ate so much food that I just start falling asleep at the end of the dessert. I'm just like. But this morning, I told Joe, that's it. We're done. We're having a challenge.
Was that after your big breakfast?
Oh yeah. Then I made breakfast and steak and One Eye Joseph's steak and with the leftover filet. But my wife, my wife didn't eat. I ate all my food, but she didn't eat. Wow. You know.
I got a 2-day head start on him, or 3-day head start on him.
Yeah.
I already came to grips on the plane ride home from Playa del Carmen after eating and drinking like Ralph was eating and drinking for the past week. I faced my demons and said. Whose name is the rabbit? Right, I'm looking at the rabbit as if it's like I'm looking in a mirror. And I'm worried about, like, wait a second. I have to, you know, there has to be a... So, I have a plan for myself. And the plan for myself is... This is what I generally will do when I feel like I'm a little over the top. And it's usually right at the end of football season. After, because we eat and sit and...
Right, so you're right on schedule.
So my plan, this is my plan. My plan is no chips, no pizza, no subs, no obvious. I don't drink soda anyway.
Right.
And limited booze. Like, you know, only on, not no drinking during the week, like a, right, not, right. no recreational.
Right, because you know...
So instead of grabbing for a beer... Or something, yeah. I go for a glass of ice water with lemon in it.
Right. Or you know what else you can have that's very satisfying is like V8 juice. I think that's really satisfying. It's like 35 calories.
A lot of sodium. lot of salt.
You can get less sodium.
Oh, can you?
You can get less sodium.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. So, Ralph, what's your plan?
I haven't figured it out yet, but I think we should come up with something that we have. I need to be challenged, Joe. I just can't sit there and say, okay, I'm going to stop eating. I need a challenge.
We're going to have you over for dinner because Kate's been making these incredible meals that still have a lot of flavor but don't have the bad stuff. Like, you know, still always a protein, always, like, cooked in a good way, and always with, like,
Tons of flavorful vegetables.
Because bland vegetables don't do it for me. Like, I need like jalapenos in there. I need flavor. I need like onions and stuff like that. And she's been doing a phenomenal job. So
it's the weekends that's the problem because you know, I can't get to that level where I need to be.
Do you eat out of boredom? Because I will eat when it's slow and I'm not working.
At nighttime after. But here's my problem. Kim will make a nice dinner. She make a healthy dinner, and then I'll go on the couch and watch the Bruins game. Next thing, I'm opening up the snack cabinet because I need to snack while I'm watching the Bruins.
You gotta have healthy snacks.
Watch the Bruins game like this, and you'll cheer them on. I need to have a snack.
How about some popcorn? I mean,
yeah, it's boring.
I'm telling you, you gotta figure out what healthy snacks will work for you.
Right. Yeah. Like my problem is I have no self control when it comes to food.
Oh.
Zero self-control when it comes to
food. So what you're saying is you haven't hit rock bottom yet.
Sounds like you're an emotional eater.
Well, then... I'm an emotional eater. Yeah. No, I just love food.
Yeah,
people, you know, eat to live. Yeah. I live to eat.
Yeah. Then ramp up activity.
Okay. Well, that's what my wife's telling me. You know, yeah. I need to be in the gym for 4 hours.
I know you're pretty busy,
but... You know what?
That's my problem.
Like, even if you're in the gym for 4 hours, you know what? What does that burn, like 200 calories or something like that?
Well,
you've got to do both.
A little of both. As we get older, like, you know, Ralph was probably like me in that when we were younger and so active.
You could eat
we
anything.
We could eat whatever.
I used to have pasta for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. Yeah. And I still could.
Yeah.
I still can't.
Every 5 years, it just seems like your natural state is five pounds heavier.
Yeah.
Your natural state, you know. Well, I know what I'm doing.
All right.
So
what's your goal?
What's that?
What is your goal and to lose?
I go by appearance more than weight because I'll work out too, so I'll get a little stronger. Muscle weighs a little more than fat, but you know, I just want to get down to probably 195, but a strong 195 from 204.
You can tell how your clothes fit and stuff like that, right?
I got a little paunch though. I mean. You know, I used to have a V, and now I'm more of a tube than a V.
Plus, I'm not very tall. You know, I'm not as tall as you. I'm short, so I'm very.
You carry
short
it well. You carry it well, though. You don't.
No,
you don't.
Stop.
No one's looking at you saying Ralph's fat.
Well, yeah. Not now, but when we're on that beach.
Yeah,
and I'm lying there. Yeah. People will be coming over and saying, "Quick, drag him, put him back in the water before he dies."
No.
You know, they're going to think, you know,
I'm a whale that beached myself. Right? I mean.
So Chris did, we should call Chris.
Yeah, I thought he was going to call in too. Let's give him a call.
Yeah, you call him. So where are you guys going? What is the plan?
We're going to Naples in May.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The McCarthy's, the Shimataros.
First of all, the Shimataros and the DiGiorgios were going. And then Chris invited himself. You know, we truly did not want him to come. And we did everything in our power. We even told him we were going to Alaska, and he figured out where we were going. So now he's come. We love his wife. Oh, she can come anytime she wants. But he is just annoying as hell. Well, let's call him. Let's see if he'll answer the phone.
There we go.
It's ringing.
Does he know you're going to call this morning? Hello.
He's going to want to go.
He might be celebrating Valentine's Day with Charlene right now.
Oh, he was just the two of them were going?
Your call has been forwarded to
a very disappointing, Mr. McCarthy.
Well, let's call Charlene.
Oh, my goodness. But so now that we have this diet going.
Yeah. We have to monitor and look at this laden table.
We have
today.
This diet. Kim hasn't brought any pastries.
Yeah, we didn't get to
for,
on these
for probably 3 months.
That isn't true.
Hello.
2 months?
No, I brought them like a month ago.
What'd you bring?
It was donuts. I'm sure of it.
Well, let's talk about what's on the table today, because typically we have a bag from Brothers Brew that Kim brought.
Brothers Brew. We have the people from the chamber brought the macaroons. And not the like traditional Italian style, more the French style.
Hold on, Chris. I need to interrupt. Chris was in the bathroom when I called.
What a surprise.
You're interrupting my morning deposit.
Of course we are.
I was at the bank.
Well, we thought you were celebrating Valentine's Day with your lovely bride, and you didn't want to be disturbed.
Well, I wish I could say that, Ralph. Well, that's only 10 seconds, so I have plenty of time.
Keep in mind, we are live on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, you son of a bitches. I didn't know you were alive yet.
Yeah.
I thought it was the typical half hour late, Joe Scimitaro.
Well, to be honest with you, Ralph did remember. It was all Ralph. I was going to shit can you when you didn't answer the phone, but he was persistent in getting a hold of you.
Well, who is this?
Joe's just shaking his head. But, you know, the reason I call Charlene is because when I call her, she immediately picks up the phone.
That's right, Ralph. Your picture came up too.
I'm sure it did.
Yeah.
Did it say "Hello, my Latin lover"?
Raphael.
Chris, you had a topic you wanted to talk about with what set of the bed that you sleep on.
Yeah, but before I talk about the bed, since you guys disturbed me as I was making a deposit, I think it's appropriate to start with what would you do at 4:30 a.m. So, you might be asking, what the hell is that all about?
Yeah,
I think the group knows, I went to Florida about a month ago, and we stayed at a friend's house. There were six couples in total staying in the house, and at 4:30 in the morning, because of the heavy drinking and the heavy eating that I did the night before, I had to make another deposit.
Jesus Christ.
And when I made the deposit, I mean, it was one of those explosions.
Oh, jeez. You painted the bowl?
And I find, so I'm, you know, doing my business. I flush the toilet, and the thing gets clogged.
Of course.
So I'm frantically looking around the bathroom, looking for a plunger, because most people, especially when they know they're going to have guests, put a plunger somewhere.
Just in case.
No plunger. So now I'm freaking out. I mean, it's 4:30 in the morning. I can't wake up the owner and ask him where the plunger is.
You better not go there.
So what do? I shut. I mean, there's no poop in the toilet. It was just toilet paper. So it wasn't like, you know, disgusting. So I take everything that you can find in the bathroom. I shut the cover of the toilet, and I put it on the toilet seat as a sign for a person who has to go into the bathroom.
Don't use the toilet, right. I would think that's what I would think. If I saw that, that would be a signal for me to say something wrong.
Chris was here.
Chris, yeah, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So what happens around 5:30 in the morning is one of the other guests gets up, and I don't know what they're thinking, but they ignore the fact that I have shit all over the toilet seat.
No pun intended.
Which is supposed to be a universal sign not to use it. And they freaking use it.
Maybe the heavy
thing. Oh, so they added on top of what was
they added to the problem.
Oh God.
They added on top of the nest.
So now they might have had something stinky going on. And it's probably above the level of the water, so it's really aerating the room at this point.
Well, it's funny you say that, Joe, because they didn't realize it. They tried to flush it, and it was starting to overflow.
No!
So they had to turn off the water source.
Oh, jeez.
So the owner gets up at 7:30, and notices that the toilet is clogged, and he unclogs it. And when I got out of bed, everyone was in the kitchen, with the exception of Charlene and I. And I had to come clean that I was the one who clogged the toilet.
And the reason you had to come clean, tell them the rest of the story, is because when you walked downstairs from the bedroom, you had the trail of toilet paper hanging off the back of your pants. But Chris, to preface it, what we were discussing before we called you, we were talking about restaurants and birds and all sorts of great things that are happening in the community with the Chamber of Convert. And you called.
I think the listeners will appreciate this discussion because
it is a universal problem.
Bring a portable plunger with them
when you travel.
Or know the universal sign. When something is sitting on the toilet seat, don't use it.
Right. Don't move it. Don't purposely move 15 different items that's on the toilet seat and lay down a turd on top of a pile of obviously not flushed stuff.
So, Chris, maybe you should have your own stickers made up that say, "Good morning, plunger." And then you can put them on top of the toilet seat every time you visit somewhere.
Are you going to bring a plunger to Naples? Because we're going to a nice place. And those are my friends. That's my friend's place. We have a certain reputation down there. And now it's starting to make me nervous.
I think you should each bring a plunger is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, but we have our own rooms, Joe, right? We have our own toilets.
Oh, we have our own cottage, yeah. Each of us have our own cottage. But still, I vouched for you. This is what I'm worried about, is that I vouched for you to get you into this place.
Chris, I'll make a deal with you, Chris. If you want to go to Alaska on that same week, I will pay for you to go to Alaska. I'll even fly you first class to Juneau.
It's not enough sunlight at that time.
All right. Charlene can come with us, though.
So my second topic quickly, because, Joe, maybe you can throw out a survey to your listeners. What caught my attention, and this was a couple months ago, Ralph and I were talking about which side of the bed we sleep on. And both Ralph and I, if you're looking at the bed, we sleep on the right-hand side.
Oh.
And I'm wondering if that's like universal, if like every male
I'm on the left.
Right-hand side of the bed.
I'm on the
now
left.
Now you're making me nervous, Chris, because left is right and right is wrong. So I don't know.
If you're looking at the bed.
If you're at the bottom, if you're at the base of the bed.
Your partner's on your right.
Yes, my husband sleeps on the right.
Yeah, see?
Wait, if you're facing the bed?
If you're facing the bed.
I'm on the left.
He's on the right. I'm on the left.
Yeah. So I'm going to let you in a little secret in my house. Because my wife and I, we travel a lot. And we go away.
No, you don't.
Yeah. We have to. She makes me sleep closest to the door.
No matter what.
Someone comes in and murders us. Yeah. I'm taking the bullet first. Yeah. That's the way it works in my household.
That's chivalrous. That's chivalrous.
I sleep closest to the bathroom.
Oh, just
so maybe so Chris should sleep closest to the bathroom.
So it can vary. In here in Massachusetts, I sleep on one side of the bed, and in New York, it's on the other side of the bed.
Interesting.
That's wild. I don't know. No rhyme or reason for that, though.
The bathroom access.
Oh, the bathroom.
Yeah, there is rhyme and reason.
Yeah, there is rhyme.
Chris, at home, are you closest to the bathroom or Charlene?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a reason for that.
See that, probably.
But it's funny. I mean, back to your comment about traveling, Ralph. We've got confused sometimes on which side of the bed we sleep on. It just doesn't feel right when I'm on the left and she's on the right. So it's almost like regardless of where the bathroom is, regardless of who's going to break in and shoot us, we have to stay left and right.
Well,
I think that's probably true for a lot of couples.
You feel very strange when you sleep.
When you sleep on opposite sides.
Yeah,
side.
On the side it just doesn't feel right.
Yeah,
that's true because I always roll to the left when I want to be the outside spoon, and I roll to the right when I want to be the inside spoon.
Well, that's a topic for another day, Joe.
That's a different.
Well, there you go.
All I had a real good one for that. I'm dropping it. So at that, we're going to say, Chris, enjoy the rest of your weekend with your bride. When are you coming home?
I'm coming home Tuesday.
Oh, we want to know how many pounds have you lost on your keto diet so far?
Well, when I went away to Florida and then immediately went away to Phoenix, I gained about 7 pounds back. So I'm back to 12 pounds since I started this whole.
You're down 12 pounds overall from your high.
From my high, exactly.
Month and a half ago. That's pretty good. Yeah, that is solid. Yeah, I'd be happy with that.
So Joe and I are on a mission. We need to drop some weight before we go to Alaska.
I've been telling you guys that. I mean, Jesus, I got a picture of the three of us hanging above my bed with the polar plunge. And that's the motivation.
That's more than a plunge. That's like empty in the Atlantic.
There were three whale sightings then too. I don't know if you guys saw that.
I know Kim was all excited. She's paying money to go out to Stellwagen back to go see the right whales. She could have just gone to the pool of plunge, saved a lot of time and energy.
That's classic. Hey, just quickly before you hang up on me, Jason McLaughlin. I don't know if you guys saw that in the paper. He's a young kid who has been fighting. Golden Glove. Joe, I think we should try to reach out to him. It would be great to get him on a podcast, future podcast, talk to him about his boxing career. And he lost in the finals to, I think, some guy in New York. But I forget exactly how old he is, but I think he's a teenager still.
Wow.
But, he's a Gloucester guy.
Well, there's a Gloucester boxing club, so yeah.
Right, that's where he's from. Wow. From that club.
All right. I'm putting you on that. You don't have Facebook, so you can't really communicate with anyone. So no, I guess I can't put you on it because you just without Facebook nowadays no one can really figure out anything.
I want to be the only American to not have Facebook at some point.
You're well on your way. You're well on your way.
We're still questioning if you are American, Chris.
All right.
Well, there are some parts of me that are European.
I'm not going
to
get myself.
Goodbye, Chris. We'll talk to you soon.
I'm not biting.
Never call my wife again.
Well, there you go, Chris McCarthy.
Yeah, it's always
refreshing to talk to him.
It's always refreshing.
Always refreshing.
I don't put plungers out for my guests.
Well, when Chris stays over, I would consider it.
It's not a bad idea.
Actually, you're right. It's not a bad idea to get something like that out and visible, just in case.
Yeah, because it's embarrassing if you have to ask for
it.
Right.
Yeah, that's worse.
They have the plungers that kind of like have a self-enclosed kind of thing, so you don't have to see the actual plunger.
Yeah, that's what we have.
Maybe we should invent a wallet size for Chris. He can take it everywhere he goes.
Wallet size.
He needs something, apparently.
That'd be counterproductive, I think.
So there's that.
Moving on.
Father Alves passed. So you probably don't know who Father Alves is, but Father Alves, how old was he when he passed?
I don't know, but I know that I think for more than four decades he was.
I mean, I'm old, and when I was a teenager, he was at Our Lady's.
He was at Our
Lady's. And to have that kind of tenure at the same church, usually, I mean, all these other churches, you have the priests that coming and going and coming and going. That Our Lady's has maintained being a beautiful church all the way through.
Yeah.
And he in my opinion,
he was so beloved.
Out of all, and I haven't gone to church for a while, so I don't want to act like I'm this big church guy, but at one time I was. And all the priests, all the sermons, he consistently, in my opinion, gave relatable, great sermons.
Story.
That like, so I was a teenager, and you know how, I mean, you see my daughter Eloise, her mind is, you know, she's got the headphones on all the time. At my age, he would get my attention, because at the end of that sermon, there was a lesson.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like babbling
really,
on.
Really saying
Yeah. He put energy and stuff and thought into his sermons. He was a very relatable priest and. You know, sad to hear of his passing.
So beloved, and he was really, he just helped so many people, like when they're, if their family members were in the hospital, or he was just a really very special person.
Yeah. This Kim brought these up, Judith Gettleman.
Yeah, and she was also just so beloved on Rocky Neck.
Rocky Neck,
yeah, she was a very special icon. Lady. She was so creative, but her gallery was so welcoming to anybody who was walking past.
With that bench. That was a meeting point on Rocky Neck.
And they really, you know, very high quality art, I think.
Yeah.
Her husband's name was Gordon, and he passed away like 2 years ago.
And they had the residency was named after them.
Yes.
The Gettleman residency on Rocky Neck. They would bring in artists from around the country, around the world, really.
Oh, really.
Really and,
interesting, wonderful artists. So that will continue on. I mean, they've really done so much for the art colony.
For decades.
And she was, and I also learned that she was really never sick a day in her life. And she went to bed, and she was in her early 80s, I think. She went to bed, and she fell asleep, and she didn't wake up.
And her, sign her, me up.
Yeah, her kitty was with her, purring away when she died. So.
Oh man, so now I have to go through.
So, yeah, that's a very, you know, sweet way to go, and she deserved that.
Yeah, good for her.
A beautiful lady.
Well, our thoughts are with the families, both of them. The NIP ordinance. We haven't touched upon this, but it's a kind of a big thing.
It's a big thing, and I don't want to. I can't talk to it too much specifically, just because I haven't been reading all the exact rules and what they want to change the ordinance to.
Well, the idea is that they want to include NIPs in the 5 cent deposit,
right? Which is, I mean, what do you think?
Well, I don't think that solves the problem, because you know most of the NIP issues. It's not like, you know, people like us are driving down the street drinking nips and throwing them out the window. It's kids.
Right. And I don't know
that it's even just kids. I think it's alcoholics that hiding it from their wives and going for a ride. Their wives are like, you can't drink anymore.
Is 5 cents going to solve the problem?
Well, here's the thing. It may not solve it for the alcoholic is still going to throw it out the window. I agree 100%. But there may be industrious people that when they're walking down the street may bring a blue bag, collect the nips, and turn them in the nickel.
Especially if there's like known areas, because like on our street, we get people collecting, you know, bottles and plastics and things like that on recycling days. So if it's a known, like say you're somebody that likes to do that, or, you know, earn a little extra income that way, and they go on a Sunday morning or, you know, Monday morning.
I came out of my house this morning, there was a pint.
Yeah.
No,
it's ridiculous. And it's not just the nips. I mean, the problem that I see, I walk the dog along the back
shore,
and there's McDonald's bags.
It's people thinking they can throw their garbage out.
There was a door. Someone's door was, they took it because
it's going to cost them X amount to pay to have it taken away.
It's horrible.
Ralph, the dumping down here, you wouldn't believe the dumping down here. People sometimes bring sofas.
Yeah.
Sofa. Big sofa.
It's horrible.
Televisions.
It seems like when I was a kid growing up, there was a huge anti-littering campaign. And I think that really helped. I think that helped bring awareness.
No one's more psychotic than Patty Amaral and Donna Vio. Those people have been around for a while. I'm talking about a national campaign.
Like, I mean, not that people sit around and watch TV as a family anymore, but, you know, there must be some way to reach people because I don't know so much that it's even the younger generation, because they get this kind of information all the time at school and stuff like that. And, you know, it just seems like some people just aren't getting it. Aren't getting that it's not a good thing.
Now that we've done the blog, we're into our 11th year now.
Yeah.
There's recurring themes that I almost feel like every beginning of every summer, I guarantee you, someone's going to post a picture of Niles Beach, of Good Harbor Beach in the morning, and the glistening of the trash that's on the beach is going to out. There's going to be a huge Facebook. Mm-hmm. there's going to be 200 comments on how we're going to stop it. It's been every single year, and we talk about it ad nauseum. And then there's going to be a fight about the barrels on the beach and not the barrels.
Last year they started adding barrels, and it really helped. So last year they started adding the barrels.
Yeah, I like the idea of the barrels, but yeah. So it's I don't know that there's an answer, Ralph.
No, I mean, on the rocks, I mean, in the rocks, there's so much plastic and debris that comes, even comes in off the ocean.
It just comes in, a lot of it comes in off the ocean. You know?
Right. So what's going to happen pretty soon, I don't remember what the date is, but Earth Day, there's coastal sweeps that do happen. Yeah. And usually with the coastal sweep of like 40 people, you know, combing, and a lot will be removed, and then... You know, over the summer, I think in this time of year, especially, there's less emphasis on trash pickup,
right?
And because it's colder and people are like less apt to take the time to pick stuff.
And
up.
Don't you think storms kind of bring in a lot of stuff?
I think storms. Think wind. You know, it's windier, so stuff gets blown around and stuck up into the. See, a lot of that is stuck up into underneath brush where it's tough to get.
Yeah.
But
last year during the big storm, I had a. Somebody's parts of their home must have came from Chatham or something.
Right.
You know, the whole front porch.
Oh, wow.
The front stairs.
Wow.
Ended who takes up, that away?
I don't know. It did. I think the town came down and picked up a lot of it.
Yeah.
Or the city, rather. Right. But yeah, it was amazing. Like the whole front porch, the stairs, the string is everything.
Wow.
Washed up.
Yeah.
Gee, I wonder if, I wonder if that comes. From as far south as South Carolina, North Carolina. You know what I mean? Like, how do we know where?
I don't know about that. I definitely think it was the Cape, most likely. But
yeah,
I don't know.
Crazy. It's amazing stuff.
Well, I mean, they find we had a boat the boat that left the mooring and they got it down and way down on the South Shore.
Yeah.
It washed up there.
Yeah.
Brent Rock. So I want to talk about, I got these, so I had my eye exam, and I have this problem with, I haven't gotten progressives yet, but I'm at a point now where my contacts, or early in the morning I don't wear my contacts, but if I would put my glasses on, I had them tuned in for kind of like driving distance,
right.
Which I never really take my glasses out of the house, so that was kind of dumb because most of the stuff in the house is either television or reading the working on the computer or something. So I finally got progressives, but Kim and I were fans of Warby Parker. And for single vision, one lens,
it's just one lens. For me it's readers,
it was readers, but me it was single vision.
Yeah.
It was like $100 for a pair of glasses, right? And if you wanted the second one, it was like a lot. Like the second one would be almost half price.
Oh, I didn't
or something.
Know that.
Sometimes they had deals. Maybe I'm not speaking correctly, but it was right around $100 for a single vision, not specialized glasses.
Right.
But I went on Warby Parker recently after I got my progressive prescription.
Yeah.
They wanted $295 for the progressive prescription, the anti-glare, anti-smudge,
the bells and whistles.
And all the bells and whistles that you can get in a pair of glasses, the thinner lenses, because my prescription would be super thick without doing that. And they wanted $295. I could only imagine what they would have asked for at some of these other glass places that are like crazy. Kylie Davis, now Kylie Doe, she turned me on to Zenni Optical. It's
how do you spell Zenni? Z-E-N-N-I.
I have a link.
Okay.
It's Z-E-N-N-I.
Okay.
And all the bells and you can get glasses with prescriptions on that site for under $50.
Really? Wow.
The ones I got were just under $100, and I checked off every upgrade that you could possibly have. Anti-glare, anti-smudging, the thinner lens, progressive, not the base frame, a good frame. And
Well, I just have a question about, when you wear progressives, right, do you wear them when you're driving and when you're at the computer, even though you might have contacts already in?
No. One or the other.
Oh, okay.
They're not like readers. I see. It would be in place of the
contacts. Okay, so yeah. you don't wear, so you would rather not wear the contacts.
Early in the morning when I just wake up, I can't see it. Like when I wake up without my contacts in, okay. I can't see anything. Oh, okay. I can't read the clicker. Yeah. I can't read my computer. I can't see the television screen clearly. Okay. I can't do anything.
So you're nearsighted and farsighted.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah, very bad. So yeah. So if there's any obstacle, I'll leave a link.
Okay.
And
I'll check it out. It looks interesting.
Check it out. I think it's worthwhile. I think I think some people buy like 2 and 3 pairs, like some, you know, of glasses because they're so inexpensive.
Well, I have 3 pairs of Warby Parkers just because I lose them, I put them down. You know what I mean? It's yeah. Just like, there's
well, for just the readers, they must be less than 100.
Yeah, they're $99, yeah. But I've gotten them over the last 5 years. And
readers, that's what readers. I can't.
Yeah. Just
I,
readers, yeah.
Well, I mean, if it was, can't see my food when I eat.
If it was just readers, I would. If it was just readers, I would just get. I would just get a like you know, $1.50. Kim.
Oh well, in
a ton of stuff has happened.
Wow,
just in the last couple
just
of days.
Just in two short days since our last podcast. Mm-hmm. So there were 3 beautiful swans that appeared at Niles Pond yesterday, and they stayed the whole entire day. And they're young swans; they're less than a year old. So I don't know what's gonna. They were there at sunset, and I went and checked on them early this morning, and they weren't there.
This is a big development. Because yeah. For years it's just been Mr.
It's
Swan,
just
right?
Mr. Swan. Most occasionally somebody flies in, but he's over at Henry's Pond right now, so he's not there to chase them away. So I don't. We're hoping maybe one will stay.
Well, Mr. Swan and Mrs. Swan are divorced, so that might be the children visiting on the weekend. Well,
Mr. Swan. His wife was killed a couple of years ago. The swans usually mate for life, but that was his second Mrs. Swan. Mr. Swan is approximately 30 years old, so I don't know how many more Mrs. Swans there's going to be.
You don't know much he's got left in the tank.
His last nest, there was only one viable egg that he had with his last
Where do they go when it freezes?
When it freezes, they go to salt water. So swans don't migrate in a big way, like, you know, hundreds of thousands of miles. They migrate around from body of water to body of water. So Mr. Swan's territory basically covers all of Cape Ann.
Yeah.
And he's really good at chasing other swans off his territory.
Yeah, I was on in Walnut Street in Saugus. I was driving down, and there's a reservoir there.
There's a beautiful pair there.
There's a pair there.
Yeah, there's a pair.
And it was frozen. And they were on top of the ice.
Yeah, they go on top of the ice. They find pockets. It's hard for them to run and take off on ice. That's why they don't like to be on the ice. And sometimes, like, they'll get frozen a little bit in the ice overnight, like if it turns really cold. But they're so powerful, they lift their body out of the water and they smash the ice down with their breast and they
wow.
their breastbone, and they get, you know, they can free themselves. But sometimes they can really, really get stuck also. Sometimes they can get stuck on the ice, they can't get off to get a running start, and sometimes they even get frozen in, but like solidly frozen in.
Yeesh.
So that happened to Mr. Swan a couple weeks ago, and he had to the fire department in Rockport.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, that was
yeah.
nice.
Yeah.
So muskrats.
Muskrats. Okay. Yeah, 3 beautiful muskrats this morning, also just basking in the sun, and I think they're coming out because everything's thawing out a little bit, and so they're. They were just chomping away. They're very shy. They didn't care about my presence one tiny bit. So they were just. They're beautiful little, you know, they're about this big. You can tell the difference between a muskrat and a beaver because beavers have big, long, flat
paddles,
and muskrats have much skinnier little tails. So
you're the muskrat whisperer now. You can add that to your resume.
And the most exciting of all was a bald eagle yesterday that I was 10 feet away from, maybe 15
wow.
feet. So it swooped in. I was out on Eastern Point. It swooped in. It had a something in its mouth. It ate. It was too far away from my camera lens, and it. I mean, there's been tons of reports of bald eagles around, but I would see them way. I would see them overhead, but I would never, you know, get
not close enough.
Yeah. Some pictures are going up tonight. And
should
it was,
look for
yeah,
that.
It was really interesting because even though it's a very even though it's very, it's still a young one. It was a three-year-old one. Next year it'll look like an adult, the typical bald eagle that we see. But its wings were big, its talons were even bigger than a snowy owl's or a great horned owl, I think. I mean, I didn't have any way of comparing them side by side, but the talons were like this big, like wow. You know, like
so you're saying the talons are 4 or 5 inches, yeah.
I mean, they were huge.
Cool.
So, yeah.
So it's just gonna get bigger.
Yeah. Oh, and also I put this in the post. A friend or a passerby in the neighborhood told me that she'd seen a crow in its clutches. So I thought Kate would like to know that.
Ooh, bring on the bald eagles. Yeah. Bring them into our neighborhood.
I thought Kate would want.
Can we set up a you know how they're setting up the nests for the osprey? We set up an eagle's nest.
You know they mate for life. So if we mm-hmm. get a
Let's get them to take out the crows.
They're nesting right now. They're starting to nest right now.
Take out the crows.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought Kate would like that bit of information.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. One very quick update on Adventure Man. He's in Richmond, Virginia. So he's getting there.
Oh, he's getting close.
Yeah.
How about him doing 75 miles in one day?
Oh, my gosh.
How does that happen?
I don't know how your body can do
that. Okay, I want to say something.
What did he do then? How did he...
He just kept... He just pushed through.
Was it bad weather? Is that why he was doing it that way?
I think he wanted to get to the Virginia border.
Wanted to get to the Virginia border, but I also think he has some really big events in New York City, and he wants to make sure that he can make those events. But okay, this is something I wanted to say because you know, it's what he's doing seems, and it is extraordinary, right? I went to physical therapy for some. I had some leg issues.
Like sciatica.
Sciatica stuff, right?
Yeah.
And this physical therapist, great guy, very knowledgeable, young guy, was telling me that if you are walking, lifting, whatever it is, correctly, and warming up correctly,
mm-hmm.
and strengthen up evenly your muscles within your body,
right.
that you can do these type, like, you can run extraordinary amounts of time. You can lift extraordinary amount of time without injuring yourself. The times that you get, like, the reason that I was injuring myself was because I do the same movements. I had my back muscles
were
overdeveloped in doing some of the labor that my chest and shoulders should have been doing.
So I hear this all the time, like from my yoga teacher and stuff like that. If you stabilize your shoulder girdle and you stabilize your pelvis, you can do, instead of, because you're making your legs do things that they wouldn't ordinarily do, or the small muscles of your lower back do what they're not supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
So he must really.
Well, he's been running forever.
He must be super stabilized, right?
Yeah. It is unbelievable what he's doing. It really is. But yeah, thank you for that update, Pat.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's every time. The more I watch him, the more fascinated I am.
It is. It's
and
fascinating.
I just love
story.
His attitude.
I always like the way he's telling himself, "Come on."
Yeah, and you know, he's just so gracious. The last topic for me: this little camera that Kate got for Connor, but Connor doesn't really use, so I've kind of
taken GoPro.
It's a GoPro knockoff. By a Chinese company called Yi. And Yi makes dash cams. They make a bunch of different products, and they're all on Amazon 4.5 stars or better. It's because they basically take these other manufacturers
and
they make knockoffs a little bit better, or they make them the same but
much cheaper.
Half of the cost, right? So I've been, if you notice, have you been seeing the time lapses I've been doing?
Yeah,
they're awesome.
So I've been experimenting with it. This is it's a $60 camera, and it does more than just time lapses. And there's a bunch of different settings, so and exposures and stuff like that that you can do. Really fun, and there's a camera app that goes with it that you can control the on and the off, and so you can put this remotely and record.
Yeah. Oh, awesome.
awesome. Through Wi-Fi.
Can I see it?
Yeah,
I think it over its size. It's about the size of a D battery, maybe a little bit.
And it has this little waterproof case to it.
Yeah.
And it has a lot of the GoPros, they don't have monitors on the back. So you have to like remember there's only like one button on it.
Oh,
so you have to press it like once and know what's happening. This like has a display on the back which tells you what's happening. And it's only $60, which I mean, a lot of people spend a lot more for things.
Oh, yeah.
Really, really cool. And it comes with this little waterproof case. I just smudged the thing. And then it also has this stand, which doubles as they have proprietary mounts that'll clip into to different things.
I love your time lapses.
I've been having a lot of fun with it. A lot of fun.
I brought that one when I came back from Montana snowmobile.
Oh, did you?
I would mount it to my helmet.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Did you download the app for it?
I have the GoPro.
Yeah,
is what I have. And I do have.
Can you control it through an app on your phone? Because the reason I really love it, one of the parts, is that I can do this time lapse. Right, and press a button, and it downloads it wirelessly to my cell phone.
Oh, nice. Correct.
Then I can share it to Instagram and everything else. That's you got the app.
Yeah,
so that probably does the same thing.
I just don't know how to use it, to be honest with you.
How do you charge it?
There's a little thing on the side.
Side.
Yeah.
Oh, right there.
Yep, and it's a micro USB.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Very simple.
Wow. And so, how do you just take a normal picture with it? Can you do that?
Yeah.
I'll
teach you a thing so people on board. But I can show you quickly.
Okay.
So
look at that. That's awesome.
Oh, that was a slow motion of a foosball game that the kids were playing, and it's if you have good light.
Right.
I mean, this is a super low aperture. It's like 1.8. So the revolutions of this thing in slow motion are incredible.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So you can go through the... So see how it says video right there? Yeah. And then you can go down. See, there's a menu.
Oh, there's a little menu there.
Yeah. Kim, that would be fantastic for you to set up on a tripod in that case and put it close to where the animals are going to be and then grab the footage. And they have 4K ones. The 4K ones are much more money.
Yeah,
but this is for what? What
do I use
it for?
I don't shoot in 4K. What am I going to do with those huge files?
There you go. That's what I'm saying.
This is something you might be interested in.
1080p. Yeah.
This is 1080p.
Yeah, I know.
Or more. Yeah, yeah. It's really really great. So there you go. Anything else that we had on the thing? Oh, Pat, you got a new cell phone?
I did.
What did you end up getting?
This is the iPhone X10R. I went locally. Up to the crossings,
You do not have a case on it. And for what you paid for it, I think you're insane.
My case is in New York. I already bought a case because I knew I wanted this phone.
Yeah.
So I already bought a case, but it's in New York. My original intention was... So I'm being like super careful.
You need to be super careful.
Yeah, being super careful. But it came to mind that it was similar. You had talked about the airline sort of nickel and diming you to death on every little extra charge they can come up with, and it was a similar experience. I mean, back in the day, you could just take your phone and give it to them and pick out another one.
Yeah, there you go. And what happened? So what did you do?
So, I'm sorry, I thought you were... they charged for turning the phone in now or getting a new one. They charged me for setting this up, which I wasn't expecting.
Didn't have a couple years on a contract already?
No, I was way off contract.
So you should have. They should have.
You
could have gone to a different company. What was your carrier?
It's an iPhone.
What was your
Verizon?
Okay. If you went to Sprint and said, "I'll set up a contract with you," they have to port your number over.
Yes,
They would have done away with a lot of those fees. Just for future reference.
No, yeah, I've done that before. I went from Sprint to Verizon because the school had a contract and the teachers got a discount, so we switched.
Yeah. So once you're paying for the phone outright now.
Yeah, and they wouldn't let me pay. I said, I'm ready to pay.
They want you to, right.
And they wanted it to be...
They want that interest on you.
Right.
And I'm you could pay it off. You could sign up for that.
Do it in 30 days or something. Yeah,
horseshit.
This is craziness. But she was very nice. I mean, I'm not blaming the girl in the store.
It's just the way the system is set up now.
What she had to do. But it's a little bit of a learning curve, but, you know, we're getting there.
There you go. All right, GloucesterCast 322. Ralph, thanks. It's good to have you back. Good to be back with the crew. We'll probably do another one midweek. And okay. Kim's fascinated with the camera. I'll give you a lesson.
I'm messing with your phone. I'm sorry. Give me your camera.
There we go.